Sasha.
And I'm Aaron. Welcome to our live face-to-face event with the cast members of Studio C.
We are coming to you live from the BYU Broadcasting Center in Provo, Utah.
You guys, we're so happy to be here with you and with thousands of other youth from around the world for this event.
And to our guests from Studio C, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks.
You guys, we're so excited that you're here with us. We're excited to hear your experiences, your testimonies, and we're going to have such a great time doing this.
This event is really about all of you getting to know the answers to some of your questions you might have.
So, if you guys have any for the cast, send them our way by using the hashtag LDSFace2Face or go to facetoface.lds.org.
You can also post your favorite quotes, thoughts, and pictures that show us how you are participating in this event.
You can also go and check out the LDS Youth Facebook page and Instagram. There you'll get to see some behind-the-scenes footage of how this event was put together.
We would like to begin with an opening prayer from J.L. Chamberlain.
Dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful day, and we ask Thee to please bless us, that we will be able to have Your Spirit here, and that we can be able to ask questions to Studio C, and to just have fun tonight. And we thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us, and we ask Thee to please bless the missionaries throughout the world, that they will be able to find people to teach, and that they can soften their hearts and spread the gospel. And we thank Thee for all of our many blessings that Thou hast given us, and we ask Thee for opportunities to serve, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, some of you might know who Studio C is.
But if any of you don't, we've prepared a short video explaining what these guys do.
Welcome
to Studio C.
Sweet butter trumpet!
We're a sketch comedy show like you've never seen before.
We do parodies.
I'll save you, Katniss.
I'm the doctor.
We sing songs.
We do live broadcasts.
We look for pineapples under the sea.
We wear a lot of black.
We give you diet tips.
We believe in hygiene. We dance.
And, you know, other things, too, also, as well.
And we make it so the whole family can watch.
We're happy that you're joining us today on Face to Face, and we hope that you guys enjoy yourselves. Peace.
Namaste.
That was awesome.
That was fantastic.
All right, now, before we get into our questions, we want to give our guests a chance to introduce themselves.
And to do that, we have done some digging and found pictures of these guys when they were younger. So, Adam, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Adam Berg. From
there you go.
That's me, 3 days ago. And I'm from Highland, Utah.
I'm Jeremy Warner, and I'm from Blackfoot, Idaho, and that picture's from Simpler Times.
I'm Natalie Madsen. I'm from Rochester, Minnesota, and I apparently hated picture day.
I'm James Perry. I'm from Sacramento, California. And I say we bring back the chain necklace.
I'm Jason Gray from Boise, Idaho, and I wish I looked as cool as James in high school.
I'm Stephen Meek from...
Why? No!
From Keller, Texas. And that was the Eagle Scout project there.
I'm Whitney Call from Portland, Oregon. I could fly away on those wings.
I'm Matt Meese. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. Those teeth did grow back.
My name is Stacey Mark. I'm from Dallas, Texas, and I was terrified.
I'm Mallory Everton. I am not a natural blonde.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Let's dive into our first question.
Yeah, let's do it. So we've gotten thousands of questions from youth all over the world in the past couple of days, and a lot of people know you, but they don't know how you got started. So Elena in Virginia asked, what inspired you guys to start Studio C?
That's a good question. Yeah. We all went to BYU together, and we were contemporaries. And actually, none of us really studied anything. Well,
acting.
Yeah. We didn't study at all. No. Natalie studied theater education.
Yeah.
And Jeremy and I studied film, but that's like the closest that it comes to actually majoring in this. We all had very, dentistry, psychology, engineering, we're all across the board. And so we just did sketch comedy on the side for fun in a group called Divine Comedy. And it ended up taking up a lot of our time, and we really loved it, and we used to say, oh man, wouldn't it be great if this could be a job someday, and we were like, ha ha, never. But eventually Matt approached BYU TV, and he said, would you be interested in some kind of sketch comedy show? And they kind of just lifted our cast and put us right on TV. So a lot of us were still in college when we were doing the first couple seasons, and we slowly graduated as we went through, so it's just been fun.
We're also getting a lot of questions and statements that your comedy is clean. Mariah in Michigan asked, how do you guys keep your humor clean and family friendly? Can you guys share your thoughts on that, and why is it so important to you to have clean comedy?
That's a good question.
The funny thing is we just, like what Mal said, we got together and we just wanted to make stuff that we thought was funny. And we just have the beliefs and the values that we have. And because of that, what we think is funny is also going to be clean. You know, we're not going to go to the more crass jokes and all that stuff. And the reason why we think it's worth, you know, building, you know, careers on is because there's a lot of talent out in the world and a lot of talent in the industry, but very few of them provide comedy that is available to adults and kids at the same time, that's funny to all of us, but that people can watch together. Mm-hmm. And so we thought there's a need for it, and we hope to continue doing it for a long time.
Sure.
That's awesome. Cool.
Anyone else want to add to that?
That was pretty good.
Real good answer,
I will say that, like James said, like, it's just a testament that you can be who you are and not have to sacrifice your standards. Like, you can be passionate about something and still be successful at it without having to, you know, sacrifice on some places.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Our next question has to do with sadness, and there's a lot of sadness in the world today, and, you know, that's unfortunate, but your sketches seem to bring a lot of happiness to the, you know, people's days, and they brighten up their lives, and it's really great. So, Spencer from the Philippines wants to know how you find lasting happiness, and Nathaniel from Facebook says, you guys are cheerful whenever I see you. Thank you for your positive attitude. Any ideas for staying cheerful in today's world?
That's another good one. Well, I think it's important to specify we're not always happy. I mean, we often are, and that's what we're hoping for, but I mean, not always, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
nobody is.
Days, for sure.
Right, right. And so when you see us, it's, you know, we've been dressed nicely and made up and
normally,
and we probably are happy right now. And I think the big thing to remember is that like in life there are going to be highs and lows always. And so whenever you're at the high or whenever you're at the bottom, you just know it's not going to last all that long. And so this was something I was taught actually right before I went on my mission, is that you're going to have days where it's just like tick, 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 you're just all over the place. Yeah. But the trick would be to ride kind of like a line that goes kind of steadily upward, and you're just always kind of feeling good and knowing that the bad things are going to pass and the good things are going to continue into eternity, kind of a thing. So just knowing that nothing's going to be the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. I have something to add about that. I think that it's been really interesting with everyone having social media now, and really I feel like the way we might appear is really similar to what you might see scanning through your Instagram feed or your Twitter or your Snapchat. You're going to see like the best snippets of people's days, and it's going to seem like you're totally alone when you're unhappy. But everyone experiences loneliness and hardship and depression or anxiety sometime in their lives. And I think that Matt's right, that stuff doesn't last forever, and being able to maintain a hope that these things pass, that there are ways and things that you can lean on that will help you get through them, and that ultimately, even when you're really sad, you can always find peace. Always. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, one reason why I love the gospel. It's just because it gives me a center, so that even when I am really sad or really depressed, and I'll be honest, I've had like a lot of struggles in my life with that kind of thing since I was a little kid. And I make jokes and I have a good time too, but it's a high and low situation. That is just important to remember that there's always peace every day, even on the sad days. You can find peace, specifically, I think, through finding, through living your life in a positive way and interacting in positive ways with the people around you.
Amen. And I think to that point, the whole idea of trying to find how do I find happiness, I think if we take the I out of us a little bit more often, how do I do something, how do I become better, and if we start focusing on others, I think it can really lead to a lot of happiness when you're, how do I make other people happy?
Right, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you guys. We have a question from Taryn in Texas. She asks, so I'm pretty sure that what you do requires a lot of self-confidence. What are your suggestions for someone who struggles with that?
That's like pretend. Yeah. I don't know if I can, speak for everyone, but I am not that confident. Really, really not.
We get so nervous before our performances. Like, we even rehearse and work and work, and it's still... it's something I need to work on constantly, I know. Oh, yeah. I don't want to speak for everyone.
How do you overcome that?
How do we...
Good question.
Okay, I'm sorry to be talking so much.
I have, like, full-on stage fright. So, Do you guys know the Dungeons and Dragons sketch? Have you guys seen that sketch?
Yeah.
Okay, like, I was in tears, like, right up until I walked out on stage. So I was like, hi, boys, like, as soon as I got out. Because I get really stressed and really anxious. It's just, like, I've always been kind of, like, a little bit of a neurotic, stressed kind of person. And over this process, I've felt very blessed because I've been forced to deal with stage fright, and it's, I feel like it applies to all types of fear. Fear is very paralyzing, and it doesn't ever make me better at what I do. Particularly when what I do is, like, I'm supposed to look like I'm having fun with everybody. And so I've been able to learn a lot of lessons about, you know what, I'm feeling scared right now, and what can I do to just remind myself that everything's gonna be okay. And I just feel like that applies to life, that fear will never ever be positive. So whatever I can do or you can do to find hope in your daily life, I think is the only way. Anytime you're functioning with some kind of like self-doubt or something like that, thoughts like that won't make you funnier, they won't make you more talented, they won't make you smarter. But thoughts like, you know what, it might be okay and I'm gonna do my best. Or, you know what, failure is not the end of the world. I have failed so much on this stage and I'm still here. People don't hate me and I'm not dead. Yeah. So it will be okay. And just casting out that fear, it's not worth it. It won't help you.
And just to add to that, I would totally agree with Mal and say that for me, keeping like a prayer in my heart while we perform helps me a ton. And just working on praying and having a really good relationship with Heavenly Father helps me know my divine nature. Like that He loves me so much, and if He loves me so much, I should love myself.
Yeah.
And that's helped me a lot. Just being able to pray and really connect with Heavenly Father. I've learned that a ton on the show. I'm like always praying.
Something that's helped me a lot is this group is so, we're so supportive of each other. And I am not natural. I was the shyest kid in all my classes, like growing up. Like my teachers that I've like Facebook now are like shocked that I'm doing this for a living. But this group is so good. There's some sketches. Like when I remember when I did the Gollum sketch and I had to do like 5 different impersonations and stuff, but people were so positive with their feedback and to me, and I was like, when you have good friends supporting you and giving you those positive vibes, you really feel like you can do anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for these people, and I'm grateful for the friends I had growing up too that helped me with something.
That's awesome.
All right. That's so great, guys. All right, this next question is real tough, you guys. All right, so just prepare yourselves. Amanda from Alabama is in a tough spot, and she says that I just turned 14 and I am attending my first regional dance at the end of this month.
Yes.
What advice do you guys have for me?
I have lots of bad advice. Yeah.
Amanda, stand by the wall.
Don't go.
Go. Go to the dance.
I think I can take a stab at this. I mean, I got 2 words for you. It's called the stank face. Let me demonstrate this, all right?
Okay, all right.
This is a science. I put a lot of research into this. So pretty much take any, like, Amanda, I assure you that you're not the worst dance in the world, but if you take the worst dance and put the stank face with it, it all of a sudden becomes amazing. Do you want to see what I'm talking about?
This is kind of real.
I'm not even kidding. So the stank face, everyone's stank face is different, all right? It's the face you make when you like open, like you like heard like a scurry in a box 3 years ago.
A scurry?
And then you finally open it and find it's like a rotted raccoon or something. And like when the smell hits your face, that's all the stank face. It's different for everyone. This is mine. All right, so basically what you do is you put that with any dance and it increases the dance by like, sevenfold. All right, I'm gonna give you an example. Do we have some music? Can we play some something I can move to?
Jam? Yeah.
Here it is.
Okay. Okay, turn it up a little bit.
A little hand.
Okay, this is what it's gonna be. Give me an example of like a really weird dance. Not what you want to do at a dance, Amanda. Don't do this. Okay, but watch when you put the stank face in it. Did you see that? This is real life. I'm not dabbling in the dark arts or doing magic. This is science. Alright? You guys wanna see someone else try it?
Yeah.
No, I need a volunteer. Who's gonna you?
That's it.
Come here.
Get up here.
Alright, what's your name, buddy?
Liam.
Liam, okay, to help me out. Liam and Matt.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. First things first, let's see your stank face. You're smelling that rotted raccoon carcass. Okay, yeah, feel it, Liam. How bad does it smell, Liam? Here we go, yeah. Matt, it's nasty.
That's pretty good.
Okay, all right, now I need you guys to do some really like just awkward dance. Do an awkward dance. Something really repetitive.
Dance normal, yeah. Do my normal dance.
No, you're doing it.
You got it,
Come on, Liam, give us that. Look at it. You can do that, Matt. You can do this. All right, easy face, all right.
I wish I had Liam's
let's
dance
watch
now.
Matt. Okay, give us this awkward. Awkward.
I am being awkward. Oh.
So good. All right, Matt, put the stank face in there. Okay. Okay, let's hear it. Thanks, man. So, Amanda, you are now prepared, and everyone around the world, y'all better see each other at steak dances doing the stank face.
All right,
that was awesome, guys. Our next question is about surviving high school. And Bethany from Utah wants to know, how do you keep strong to the gospel through your high school years?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really, I have something to say. Sorry if I'm talking too much.
No.
When I was in high school, I was one of the only members of the church in my high school. And it was really hard. And I remember, just remind me of a story when I was a freshman. So it was I was auditioning for my first high school play, and I'd done some community theater. I was so nervous, and I auditioned for this play I wasn't super familiar with, and I got the part, I got one of the leads. I was so excited, and I read through the script, and there's just this one area, this one scene that I had one little joke, and it was inappropriate, and I knew I couldn't say it. And my heart just immediately dropped, and I kind of thought like, oh, that's another thing I can't do, you know, as a member of the church in high school. And I was really disappointed, and I was just completely anticipating having to not do the play at all. And I went home to talk to my mom about it, and I showed her the part, and she said, well, let's just come up with a joke you can say, you know, like something that would work. This isn't gonna make or break this, you know, the plot or anything. Let's just try to have a solution, and we did. And I sat with my mom, and I wrote probably like one of my first like officially writing a joke, which I never thought of writing comedy before. But thanks to my mom and her like openness just to like, let's just make the standards work. It doesn't have to be like, I can't. The standards can open up opportunities and can make you realize what you can do. And so we rewrote the joke. I brought it to my first rehearsal and I just said, hey, I was thinking instead of this, I could say this. And everyone laughed a lot and it made me feel great. And we used it and we did the play and moving on. It wasn't a huge deal. You know, and I remember at the time thinking I was so nervous about feeling like, well, I'm too self-righteous to say, you know, you don't want to seem like you're better than other people, but you also really want to live these standards that you really believe. And it was a great moment for me to learn that it can just be a part of who you are and it doesn't have to limit you. It's in fact, it's there to help you grow and to be better and to have better opportunities. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that moment.
Yeah.
Always listen to your mom. Like really.
Whitney?
I think going off of that too, just what Natalie was saying about how it doesn't have to be a big thing. I remember in high school just always thinking about like how am I looking to other people? How are other people seeing me when I make this choice? Does it seem this way to people? And the real truth is like everyone is just trying to make it through high school. Everyone's just trying to survive. Everyone's trying to keep their head above water. So I just feel like the gospel for me really was just like a life preserver, because it's something you can hold on to, and to know that you have a worth that is eternal, to know that you have a Heavenly Father who is omniscient, who knows everything in the universe, and He is confident in you, and He believes in you, and He is rooting for you. Like, I just would think about that all the time whenever I was like, how is so-and-so from math class thinking about me? Then you just think, like, we have this gospel, we have this truth. And so it doesn't have to be something that you're afraid of what people will think of you. It can be something that empowers you and makes you the best version of yourself. So if you think about it in that way and how it really is your support and your lifeline, then maybe hopefully you can be someone else's help and support when they're just trying to keep their head above water. Because I think when we all can actually see outside of ourselves during high school, those are the people you remember from high school, were the people that had it together and were helping everyone else out.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Our next question is kind of along those lines. It's actually about the biggest topic that we've received questions about. It's about being living in the world but not being of the world. Sabrina in Illinois shared, I live in an area where LDS people are the minority. Do you have any advice on how I can stand firmly for my beliefs, even if it means taking the risk of being ridiculed?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
I was in the same situation. I lived in an area where I wasn't the only member of the church. I definitely had some great friends in the church, but I had a lot of friends outside of the church. And when they knew about my beliefs and that I was confident in it, they respected it. And yeah, I feel like maybe it's hard if you don't know like how to approach your friends or whatever about it, or how to stand up for what you believe. And my approach just became like, oh, I want to do this. This is important to me. Mm-hmm. And when that was clear to them, they're like, okay, cool. Let's go have a sleepover, whatever. just one example is when I came to my friend's house, and there was a few friends meeting there, and they were watching something. I think it was rated R or something. And once I got there, they're like, oh, guys, turn it off. James is here. And that there's two sides of that. One is like, I felt good that my friends respected me. But the other thing that I felt was like, oh, well, am I being left out of stuff because of it? And that was one of the things that I thought was like the sacrifice of like, what am I really being left out of? And in the end, what I realized is like, if I'm left out of anything, it's something that I've decided that I don't need to be a part of, and that these friends really did love and respect me and wanted to encourage me to live my life for whatever reason. And so I think you'll find that if you just stop worrying about what other people will think about it and say, like, this is important to me, that people will respect it. And if they don't, then you don't need to hang out with those people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Our next big question is about missionary work. Mm-hmm. And if you served, could you just quickly say, you know, where you served, mm-hmm. and what language you spoke?
Yeah. Taiwan, Taichung, and I spoke Mandarin Chinese.
I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I spoke English.
I went to Milan, Italy, spoke Italian.
I went to Argentina and spoke Spanish.
Seoul, South Korea, spoke Korean.
Chicago, English.
Rio de Janeiro, Portuguese.
All right, cool. Could few of you share like a quick life lesson that you learned, or something that like really changed your life on your mission or blessed it?
I have a story that always comes to mind. And you know, missions are so great, and there's like two whole years of just tons of experiences, so like picking one is difficult. And just know there's, when you go on your mission, you're gonna experience so many things, so many hard things too. And there's a point in my mission where I was just turned senior companion, and I was having a really hard time kind of adjusting to like taking on that extra responsibility. There's this one day where I was feeling really frustrated and very angry at just what was going on. And I wasn't quite sure how to handle that. And I could tell that it was like really affecting the way that I was working. Like I was really having a hard time just getting through the day. Just feeling so angry. And my junior companion, Mark Holmes, I love you. We just stopped proselyting for a second, and he's like, you know, when I feel really angry, I just stop and try to think of like everything I'm grateful for, and just talking about gratitude and all the good things in your life will just change your heart and your mind, and just everything going around on inside you. And so we stopped, and I was like, you know, I've been talking about all these things that are going wrong, and I hate them. But once I started saying, like, you know, I'm grateful for all these many, many things, I found that that list was so much longer, and I could appreciate what good there was in my life at that time. And it's really affected how I approach challenging situations ever since then. It's just like, ooh, this is really hard, but there are good things. And if you focus on that, it really makes a difference.
Awesome. Can we get one more?
Yeah, if I could add, I loved my mission experience very much, and I agree. Like there were things that challenged me, and that's good. And when I came out into the mission field, like I thought I could speak well, I could communicate clearly, and I was speaking English, so yeah, I have a big advantage. I'm gonna hit the ground running, I thought. But turns out people don't join the church, they don't become converted to the gospel because you're good at talking. That doesn't happen, ever. What happens is the Holy Ghost moves upon them and they feel it and they have a testimony of the truthfulness of the things you're saying. Whether you're saying them well or poorly, you are just being used in that moment, and the Holy Ghost is the thing that converts people. And so for me, it took a while, I think honestly like 4 to 6 months maybe, before I realized I need to get out of the way of this message and just share it sincerely and share my faith and my testimony and know that the Holy Ghost is going to touch those people's hearts. I don't know if anyone is thinking along those lines. If you're about to serve a mission and you think you're talented, that's great that you are. It doesn't matter.
That's great, guys. A follow-up question. Not everyone has the opportunity to go and serve a full-time, two-year mission out abroad. So this question is about everyday missionaries. And Hannah from Japan asks, have you had any missionary experiences through Studio C? And Janae on Instagram asked if you have had any experiences where you've shared your testimony through your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know one of the main things that we wanted to do, I mean, when we started making the show was, one, we really wanted people to be able to watch with their families. But another thing we really wanted was to just let people know that, like, Mormons are normal. But, like, we laugh, we have a good time, and that you can still do sketch comedy if you're Mormon, and you can still be in the arts and in the film industry and stuff like that. And I've definitely had some experiences, even just reading comments, being able to see that we at least are having some impact in that way. Like, people are approaching the church or approaching the show not knowing we're members, and then finding out and realizing, oh man, yeah, I like pictured you way differently, like wearing a pioneer dress differently.
I'm just a firm believer that, like, when you live your life in a way that's congruent or like in line with your standards, like, you won't be able to stop people from knowing like who you are. And so, like, that's super important to me, be it like on Instagram or whatever. It's like, I have spiritual moments that I'm like, oh, this is really cool, I just wanna like share it, you know? And I'm not like, don't drink coffee, world. I'm just sharing like and things that are important to me and like inspiring. And like, more often than not, they line up with the gospel. And that's kind of like, I feel like I informally share my testimony by living what I believe, you know?
Just to kind of piggyback on that and like what was asked earlier about living your standards too, I just think that there is honestly, just in my experience making friends, in and out of the church, there's just nothing cooler than somebody who knows who they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you really can be confident in the gospel. If you know who you are and you stand for it, people legitimately think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And if they don't, you don't need them.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Don't need
them.
They've got enough.
Especially problems. Right now, you're going to remember like two people from high school. That's it.
Right,
thank you guys.
Cool. Yeah. You're all going to get amnesia.
Each other.
I remember three people.
All right.
That's
Well, in high school, we have to get along with our parents, right? Yeah. Derek in Utah asks, how do you guys keep a good relationship with your parents through high school? How did you guys do that?
Through high school.
Oh, man.
You don't.
I mean, for me, when I was in high school, I wasn't very popular, so I stayed home all the time. And guess who's at home? Your parents. But I think my parents are always very open and talk to me about things, and just having that line of communication, I think, just being able to confide in your parents and talk to them and listening to them. So generally your parents want what's best for you. You might not think that, but I mean, I am a parent now, and I can tell you that, I'm putting on my parent hat, that, yeah, your parents just want the best for you, and just show them respect, and hopefully, you know, they'll respect you, and that's, the question was, how do you have a good relationship with your parents, right? Somewhere in there is the answer.
Can I just add to that?
Yeah.
When I was growing up, there was always the attitude of, I always knew my parents loved me, like, no questions asked, but trust is something you have to earn from your parents. And so it wasn't, and I think that's true of any relationships, even as adults. You know, like there's people in my life, I love them no matter what, but trust is something that is earned that you have to be very aware of. It's a two-way street. So if you want your parents to trust you, you have to trust them. You have to prove to them that you're worth trusting. And that's something I wish I knew when I was a teenager, because I was like, why don't you just trust me? I remember saying that like all the time.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe I didn't deserve it. You know, like I knew that they loved me, but I remember that frustration. So just like Jeremy said, your parents want what's best for you. And everyone wants the same goal, to just be a family forever, right? Like when you get to the common denominator, you can find some common ground.
All right, the next question has to do with parenthood as well. We've had a lot of questions about Studio C cast members who are parents. How many of you have kids?
I do.
It's like
I do.
Five of
yeah.
us?
What's it like being a parent? And do you guys have any counsel for us on being a parent and how we can become better parents when we're older?
I feel like I've been talking a lot. Yeah.
The question was how...
How, like, any counsel for us as we are going to grow up and become parents.
Oh. I think just know that, like, whatever it is that you accomplish with your life, nothing is...
I almost fell over.
Yeah. Adam is so on the edge of his seat for this answer. You should be too. No, whatever it is you accomplish with your life, you know, nothing is going to compare to being a parent. So being on this show, you know, everything that I... Oh, that's my family right there. Those are my children and my wife, and that's also that's a dog. But, you know... Ultimately, you know, nothing compares to being a parent, and just it's a sacred responsibility, and it's great. And, yeah.
I agree. I have two kids, and I had my first right when Studio C started. So, like, Studio C and motherhood have been the same thing for me, and it's been really interesting. It was never in the plan, and that was never something I thought of. But motherhood, that's my family. So I've learned a lot about myself and about what it is to be parents, and it's not what you expect.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. So I think just learning that Heavenly Father has a plan for you, and He's going to mold and shape your life the way that it needs to be. And the way that you know that you're doing the right thing is with you and your spouse being prayerful, making small decisions along the way to make sure you're always feeling right about what's happening. Mm-hmm. I'm choosing to have a career. My husband also works, and we're a partnership. We work it out, and it's because we know that we have this gospel to thread our family together and to keep it together. Mm-hmm. And I would say the gospel, the whole plan of salvation, is all about your family.
Yeah.
Everything that we've been given is to enable happy families. And when you think about that, I mean, that your family has to be your number one priority, and it's really wonderful. It's brought me a lot of eternal joy.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I think Whitney has something to add.
I was just going to add that now having a child, it's made me realize a little bit more, like a tiny scintilla of how Heavenly Father feels about us.
Yeah.
There's my
phone. I have the cutest baby.
I was just thinking... this thought was brought up to me by a friend about how Heavenly Father loves us so much. And he brought up, he said, when you first held your boy in your arms, you loved him so much, but it wasn't because he did anything. I mean, he was a newborn, he couldn't do anything. And so, in fact, he pooped on me. By the way. He said, you loved your little boy so much because he was yours. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. And it's just made me realize even more my relationship with my Heavenly Father. He loves you so much because you're his. Not because you did anything, not because you achieved some status in this life. He loves you because you're his children. And so knowing that that's the relationship he has with us, that's the relationship I'm striving for with my son, it really does just like open your heart. It expands your soul when you're able to feel that for more people on this earth. And it just makes me want to start feeling that for more and more people because it's such a enlarging feeling.
Yeah.
It makes you feel whole. It makes you just feel as big as the universe. That's how God feels about us, and that's an empowering feeling.
Aww, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Amen. Thank you. This question actually just came in from Angel on YouTube. They ask, for the Studio C cast members who are single, what are the most important qualities that you look for in an eternal companion?
That's a little bit of a weird question.
I think single. yeah.
Kind. Matt always talks about how he just needs someone who's kind. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important quality that people should know they need to develop in themselves. It's just like being kind, because I don't think it gets any easier as life goes on. Like, it's something you have to work at, and if you can be the kind of person that you want, then you'll probably find someone that's compatible. Nice. I'm single, though, so I say probably.
I just want to add to that, like, and I think it's important to have to find someone, of course, you're attracted to, but like also this list of things that are important to you, like being kind. But what's more important in this time, what you have more control over is who you are as a person. And I think this is very integral to that. Like, this should be your time to be working on yourself and being the kind of person that you would like to be with. And so, yeah, it's important to look and it's fun to go on dates and stuff, but like, it's more important to work on yourself, you know?
So. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Our next question has to do with breaking character on your skits. And Jonathan from the United Kingdom.
Is this specific to someone?
we'll find out.
Oh, good.
Jonathan from the United Kingdom wants to know, when doing your sketches, how do you stop yourself from laughing out loud?
Well, some of us don't.
Yeah. Okay. Some of us are having such a good time. We can't help it. There's a correlation, though, between when I break character and Jason's proximity to me. So it's a two-way street. I'm not completely guilty.
It's you.
He knows that I'm weak, though, and he preys upon me.
That's fair.
I can sense it. His mouth does this little twitch. I'm like, oh, it's coming, and then I just swoop
it. Face is just like a vulture.
It's true.
Well, why don't we watch a video?
Breaking character.
Yeah, that's what I want.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Let's do it. Like,
all men. This is my watch. Dude, there's no way. To my grandson, Jeremy? Okay, this is probably just a misunderstanding. Maybe you left it at his house.
Did you leave this at his house?
Hey! I swear I saw him smirk from the grave. Bro, this is my little pony.
Come on, tell us what you did today, sweetheart.
I made the track team.
What was that?
I made the track team.
Wow. That is wonderful.
Yeah, way to go, son. Congratulations, brother. You must be proud.
And then my father bent down and whispered into my tiny ear, "You can cry now and open up your lungs." Look at me! I
get my armor from Forever 21. Oh. Oh.
Oh. Say that again.
I'm seeing bats.
Yeah.
We were dying so much during the Batman and Wonder Woman sketch. And what you don't know is that Natalie just like hulked out and legitimately slammed Jason's head into that thing.
It cracked the table.
So hard that Jason forgot his lines for a second.
I thought I had a better grip, but
you had a great grip.
Yeah, the grip wasn't the problem.
Well, you guys obviously have a great time together, maybe harming each other, but that's okay. On a more spiritual note, Danielle on Facebook asked, is Studio C a place where you guys can feel the spirit? How important is it for you, to you, for your work environment to be a place where the spirit can dwell?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's really good.
I feel like I definitely Jason touched on this, that we have a really supportive community here, that we're really good to each other. We've known each other for a long time, we're like a family. And so I feel like I wouldn't really be able to do my job without the spirit, because it's basically like happiness and peace and joy and all of that. I just equate all of that with the spirit. And anytime, like I was saying before, I'm feeling other things like fear or doubt or anger or frustration, that stuff kind of gets crowded out, and then I feel like I can't be creative. And so I actually feel like it's pretty necessary that we're able to maintain kind of a happiness and a peace with each other and a safe space, because we take a lot of risks and we try a lot of dumb stuff. And so it's really nice to feel safe and calm with each other.
Do you guys have any tips for us on how we can incorporate the spirit into our lives more and how we can feel it more in our lives?
I think asking for it is obviously the first step, but it's often one that I think we might forget. I mean, I ask for help when I write a sketch, and because I need it, one, and two, I feel like there's like an infinite number of ideas in the world, and by offering a prayer and asking for some inspiration, why wouldn't I receive some inspiration on that? And so I feel like just asking the Lord for the things that we want that are good, He's told us, do that, and you will receive those things. I 100% believe that. I know that's true.
Mm-hmm. I like just to add, like, something that's huge for me that affects my whole day is, like, this is going to sound like such a seminary answer, but like, if I don't read my scriptures in the morning, and like, I'm always talking about, I'm like, I got to read my scriptures.
True.
Love it.
I'm feeling terrible today. I say it all the time. We're like playing Smash.
We'll be playing video games, and Stacy will be like, guys, I got to read my scriptures.
No, but it's because, like, and I don't say it because I'm like checking off a list, but like, it legitimately affects my day and helps me feel that peace and that comfort that's so essential. And that is something that affects like work, because I'm going to work and I take that vibe with me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. This next question has to do with adversity, and it's specifically also for Jason.
Oh.
Oh. And you guys can add later.
Okay.
Don't worry. But Chad from Idaho has a question for you. He asks, during your daughter's critical time in the intensive care unit, what helped you get through that experience?
Well, Chad, you're from Idaho, so I respect you, man. This is gonna be hard. This is gonna be a harder one. But as some of you may know, my daughter had a brain aneurysm last December, and so we went from having this super healthy little girl to not knowing if she was gonna live, and. We brought her to the Provo Hospital, and my wife and her had to go on a life flight. They had to be helicoptered to Salt Lake to Primary Children's, and so they left. And I felt just so alone, and it was just so scary and like a pain that I didn't think was possible. And but I can testify of the power of the peace that the atonement can bring, that priesthood can bring. James drove me to the hospital, and I was just a wreck. I was in shock, and they asked if I wanted to give my wife a blessing, And I couldn't do it because I was still going through shock. And one of the writers on Studio C, who's not up here, but is a good friend, Dave Vance, he gave me a blessing so that I could give a blessing. I didn't even know the priesthood worked that way. But it definitely does. And I've just felt this overwhelming peace as he gave me this blessing that no matter what happened, even if she had to go back to heaven, that there was, because sometimes that happens, even the most righteous people in the world lose their loved ones. It's not about righteousness, but I felt this peace that no matter what happened, that I'd be okay. And I was able to give my wife a blessing, and then I was able to give my daughter a blessing. And I think that was just what I learned through adversity, no matter what you're going through, is that someone out there has already experienced it for you and can relate to you perfectly. And so no matter how bad it gets, there's someone who is ready to give you that peace, and it's up to you to, I mean, he's ready at the door to give it to you. So just pray and rely on your close relationships and loved ones, and it'll come.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any other stories that they'd like to share?
I kind of want to just add to that a little bit. we're all crying now.
It was an experience for everybody.
Yeah.
But I think a lesson for like the rest of the cast of that experience is just how to be there for someone. And like, how do you help someone through like a really hard challenge like that? I think the key is just to be there. Like, you don't have to do anything magical or even big, but just being with someone during that time really makes a difference. And I've been on the receiving end of that too. And so I feel like often when something really big like that happens to someone, people just don't know what to do. So my advice would just be there.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Wow. Many youth are familiar with how the Savior can help us overcome sin and adversity and trials, but many don't rely enough on His strength to overcome our challenges. Eve from New Mexico wants to know, how have you used the atonement of Jesus Christ to help with your problems? Nut Raj from India asks, how has the atonement influenced you individually?
I feel like
That's a big question.
I feel like often when we use the word atonement, to us it almost seems like this big abstract thing out there that we know Christ suffered the atonement. It's this huge miracle that applies to the entire world. We think about it just out there and distanced, but I think He wants us to feel it very personally. He wants us to feel close to Him, because He suffered the atonement very personally for you. So I try to use the atonement in everything. I mean, I know that some things may seem really stupid. I have not gone through nearly any kind of trial that some people have in this world. But I also know that Christ knows how certain things hurt me and how certain things challenge me and make me feel like I can't quite get to that place where He is, even though He might be reaching out for me. And so I think, and even in sin too, sometimes we shy away from the atonement because we're embarrassed. We're like, I'm so sorry, Christ. I'm so sorry, Heavenly Father, that I hurt you this way and I keep doing it over and over and over. I'm just being stupid. That's how I feel all the time. But Christ is just waiting for you to take advantage of this gift that He gave you. And every time you use the atonement, it's bringing Christ into your soul, into your life. It becomes this very personal, I mean, it's almost like a three-legged race, right? Where it's like you are now like, you are with Christ. He's in this with you. He's bound Himself to you because He's going through that exact same experience with you. Not even, you know, you and your neighbor could have gone through the exact same trial, but He went through it for you and He went through it for your neighbor. So I feel like whatever it is, don't think, is this big enough for the atonement, or am I worthy for the atonement? Just use it, because that's what it's there for. Yeah.
And I'll go ahead. I was just gonna say, like, I think Whitney's right too. Like, it's sometimes hard to be like, how do I use the atonement? Like, atonement. Like, that's, I mean, like, how do you tap into that? And personally, my experience for me, like, guys, we are all so imperfect, and we make mistakes. We make tons of them. For me, how I use it is, in one aspect, is I try my best, which isn't really that good. But I try my best, and then I like, almost remove that stress and just trust that the Lord will help me. And that is so much easier said than done. It's so easy to say, don't worry. But to actually not worry about things that big things that are going on is really hard. But that's the key for me, is to try my best and to trust. And trying my best means doing what I can to stay close to the Lord. And just to trust in Him and just believe. Yeah.
James? Yeah. I think just on top of all the other stuff that the atonement does, one huge thing for me is the feeling of being different. Just be feeling like I'm not like anyone else. No one can really understand me. Maybe no one wants to, and maybe the world doesn't need me. You know, that kind of thing. And I worried a lot about that in high school. And sometimes I still worry about it. But the more I use the atonement in the sense of like having a relationship with Heavenly Father and knowing that He cares that much and that Christ did that for me, because I just, like, we all try to be part of the group. We all try to fit in. We want to understand each other, and it makes sense. It's a social thing, but like being completely just you and you're the only one that's like you is one of the most beautiful parts of life. I'm on like the verge of crying, so we'll see what happens. One of the most beautiful parts of life is that you're the only one who's you, and like the world needs you. But the other side of it is like sometimes that makes you feel so lonely.
We have a brand new question that just came in just now. And it is from Jaden from Idaho, who is watching tonight and asks, I'm not a member, and I'm interested in the church. I watch your show all the time and love you guys so much. My question is, how can I show Christ-like love to someone who has wronged me?
Oh. Oh.
Great question.
So a few years back after when I graduated from college, my wife was hit by a car by a person on heroin. And
His wife was at a bus stop, not in a car.
She was standing on the sidewalk. And that moment, that whole experience was very hard for me. And I didn't handle it very well. And I was full of anger, and I was full of hate. I didn't eventually show Christ-like love to this person. But I think, I don't know, the atonement of Christ and like just my faith in God and has helped me eventually, you know, let go of that anger and that hate, because if somebody wronged you, don't let their actions eat at you and make it so that you can't be the best person that you can be. And once, you know, it took years to get past that moment, but anyway, eventually I've come to the point where I could forgive. And I think just try to move beyond it and just have faith that in the end that everything's going to work out.
I have something to add to that. When I was younger, I won't go into specifics, but I was wronged. And I had like a lot of confusion and frustration afterward for a long time, not understanding this person and how they could do what they did. And when I was older, I watched this person serve someone that I really loved, my brother, who's been through a lot. And it just opened my eyes to the fact that when we dehumanize someone who's wronged us by
turning them into the thing that they did to us instead of a person who can change. We're not putting our trust in the atonement. We're not preventing that power to be able to, well, not that you can prevent the atonement working for someone else, but just that we're missing a piece there. And it just made me realize that anytime someone wrongs you, they're just as full of potential and hope for being better and for improving as you are. And they might make different mistakes from you, but you are the same. And it was a really beautiful experience for me, and it just reminded me that God loves everybody, and the reason why is because we can all do what he did. We can all change.
Thank you for all that. That was wonderful. We have a question that just came in from Stephen on LDS.org. He asks, what has been some of your most memorable experiences being a part of Studio C?
Oh, this is a happy question.
That's all brave.
This is like, oh man, straight up, like I love what I do so much, but part of what I love about this, these little stinkers I work with, man, I don't know, and it makes those bad days are so much better being surrounded by people that you love, and I love you. What are you laughing at?
No, I was just thinking of, like, recently the Batman sketch. It hasn't been released yet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I wasn't there. Oh.
But it was a nightmare of a shoot. It was so awful. It was like the most freezing cold day of the summer. And so, it was at night.
And it was
night.
Raining. It was raining all night, right?
It was at night. It was raining.
All night long. So whenever you see a sketch that is at nighttime, we started when it became dark, and we finish when it becomes light. So
it's a terrible combination. Yeah, exactly. And it was raining, and it was like weirdly cold for August or whenever it was.
There was a fire.
That we may or may not have started. But I was just like, I'm just so glad that I'm doing this with these people. Otherwise, I just might quit. And it was really legitimately fun. Like, I had a lot of fun. But in a different situation, looking at it a different way with different people, I might be like, this is the worst thing.
Yeah. So the best thing for me for Studio C are these people. Yeah. You get all cheesy, man. Aww. It's true.
It's true. We're the best.
Yeah. I think one advantage that we have too is we get a lot of feedback about what we're doing, and so we'll get people who write into the show and tell us how we have personally helped them, and that's amazing because I feel like no other time in my life do I have people who then write me and say, hey, that one thing that you did on August 12th, 2008 really helped me through this. But we have people who tell us all the time how the things they're struggling with, really hard things, that like being really stupid on stage has helped them. And that's awesome. And so I think I can't imagine that something that I've chosen to do that seems so foolish and crazy has been able to help people. And then I get to hear back about it because then it just makes me feel like, I wish everyone could hear about the good that you do for other people, because if you got the feedback that we get all the time, you'd be like, I'm doing okay.
Can I add to that? I would encourage everyone to do that, because like I just had my birthday, and I got tons of like very specifically nice things said to me. And I was like, oh man, if people did this for like their accountant or whatever, like, it'd be really cool. It would be awesome if we just did that for everyone that was important in our lives, that we took the time to let them know how and why they're important to us. It's awesome, the power that you can have to do good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, guys, this hour has really flown by. It's almost over, but before we go, we have one last question for you guys.
All right.
We are so grateful for all the advice you guys have given tonight, and even Stacy's dance moves, which are helpful to all of us, I think.
Amanda, I want
to
hear back. Alabama.
But the last thing that youth want to know is we've been asked to hear some advice and counsel from you guys, and Elisa from Texas asked, what are the most important things to remember in school, and what is your advice for us today?
If I could real quick, I think having perspective for me at least, has been everything. So David faces Goliath, and Goliath is huge, but God is bigger infinitely than any Goliath that you may face. And so I think that just keeping that perspective and knowing that you are not just you, you can be with God and have the through the atonement of Jesus Christ, you can be stronger than anything that you're going to face. And it's that is real. That has been real in my life.
Yeah. I would say be the best you ever. You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to be, you don't have to live the gospel exactly like somebody else. It won't look the same on any person. So I would just say whatever you can do to not compare yourself to other people, do it, because being yourself is so great. That's what you're supposed to do. So just embrace yourself, because it's the best.
Yeah. I think always do your best at everything that you do. Mm-hmm. Like don't do something if you're not gonna give it your all.
Commit.
I would just say quality of friends is more important than quantity. I had a really hard time in middle school. I had a bully who was a girl, which made it even worse. But fortunately, I found a group of really just two or three really close friends that we went through high school together, and they kind of rescued me. I was getting picked on so much that I was like faking sick because I didn't want to go to school. It was a really tough time, but fortunately, I had some friends that reached out to me, and if you have the opportunity to reach out to maybe someone you see that's getting bullied or who just needs a friend, I would encourage you to do that because it can make a huge difference in that person's life.
Just to throw it on, tack on that, like I was incredibly shy growing up. Like I couldn't talk to people without just like sweating through my body. And what really helped me is when I stopped caring as much what people thought because I realized it didn't really affect me. And then I stepped outside of my comfort zone. And I wish I would have known that because that like transformed me into who I am today.
Anyone else have any?
Yeah. I would just say something I wish I knew sooner in life is just like you're not alone. Even though like I feel at least most everybody feels very alone, maybe a lot of the time, and it's so challenging to like branch out and like love people because it makes you vulnerable. But you know there are your family. Here, and hopefully some good friends and just people in general. There's a lot of love to be had and to share, and you don't have to be alone. And even if you can't find anyone, you always have your Heavenly Father.
Thank you so much. Anyone?
And to piggyback off of that,
Stephen's turn.
I was going to think about, because what I wanted to say is like build a relationship with your Heavenly Father, however you want to do that. And exactly like Mal said, you will do it differently than other people will do it. If yours is like I'm praying this many times or in this situation I always pray or in this situation I always pull out my scriptures, whatever works for you is what works for you, and that is fantastic. And Heavenly Father wants to find you and wants you to come to Him any way you can. You'll figure out how to best have a relationship with Him. It's always worth it.
I echo everything. I was just gonna say I think be endlessly kind. Just be kind as much as you can to everyone. I think it's really easy to burn a bridge just by saying something that you don't mean to say, or you know, just take care of other people. Mm-hmm. And I think when you do that, you're gonna find yourself in the right place.
Thank you guys so much for all of your insights and testimonies and experiences. I know I felt the Spirit here. Thank you for your examples of being ourselves and trusting Heavenly Father and our parents. We're really grateful, and I know that I'll take all of this into my life. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. You made us cry.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys. We love you very much.
Yeah.
We
do.
Appreciate you. Awesome.
That's been great. And to all the youth out there, we are so grateful that you guys tuned in to watch this event. If nothing else, know that God loves you guys. And tune in for our next event. See ya.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.